doors of the Bible. Verse 16, Genesis chapter 6. Here we read about another one of those doors. God said to Noah, "A window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it." Can things get any worse in the world than what they are now? Have we not asked ourselves that question numerous times as we see how immorality abounds on every side? The vilest of the vilest behavior is practiced and promoted by the totally depraved. Men wallow in the cesspool of iniquity and debauchery. They sink deeper and deeper into the mire. And for them there is no fear of God before their eyes. And when we see such rebellion against God and His laws, and the statutes are trampled underfoot, and when evil is called good and good is called evil, do we not then bring to mind the words of the Lord Jesus? Remember what Christ said about the last time, about the last days? "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." Luke 17, 26. "So shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." That is, when the Son of Man, when the Lord Jesus returns again, and when He will summons all before Him, and He'll sit upon the throne, and He'll judge the quick and the dead. So what were those days really like then? As it was in the days of Noah. What were those days really like? Do we find similarities between the days of Noah and our day, the day in which we live? Well, look at verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5, "And God saw." There's nothing that God doesn't see. We should always remember that. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." That's bad enough. But then God goes on to say, "And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." You think of that. His wickedness and every imagination, every thought of his heart are only evil continually. Day after day after day. Not just their actions, but what goes through the mind and what comes out of the heart. Man's heart is wicked and sinful. The Lord Jesus has told us that over in Matthew 15 and verse 19. Matthew 15, verse 19, the words of the Lord. Lord Jesus says, "For out of the heart that is only evil continually. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Did you take note that as we read that verse 19, the Lord mentioned seven sins that proceed out of the heart of man? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. We know that the number seven is the number of completeness or perfection. Here in this verse, we can see that the number seven means completeness. Seven, the number of completeness, and the Lord is showing how the heart of the unregenerate man, the heart of the totally depraved individual, is only evil continually. He's completely sold out to sin. And in those days, God declared, "The end of all flesh is come before me." Why? Because the thoughts of man's heart were only evil continually. Wickedness abounded in the world. God says, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I will destroy." In other words, God is telling Noah, there's a day of reckoning coming. There's a day when I am going to judge the world, and I'm going to destroy the world and all who live therein. Now we remember again the words of the Savior: "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man." And so God destroyed the world in Noah's day, and there's a great destruction coming again. God is going to destroy this world. There's a day of judgment coming. And as there was a day of judgment coming in Noah's day, the Lord, in grace and mercy, provided a way of escape. Told Noah to build an ark. Build an ark. That was to be the way of escape. And when you look at that ark, it is far as a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives us a lovely type of Christ, the ark of salvation. Christ is our salvation. And then here in our text, in the verse 16, God said, "A window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make." You look at the ark, and the ark is a type of Christ. Now you look at the door, and there we see Christ once again. What did the Lord Jesus say? Didn't he say, "I am the door? By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." John 10 and verse 9. And so we're in sure ground when we look at the door and the side of the ark as a type of Christ, because the Lord said, "I am the door." So let us look then this morning, with the Lord's help, at another one of the doors of the Bible. And regarding this door and the ark, first thing we notice about it, it's a single door. A single door. God gave Noah specific instructions regarding the construction of the ark. Verses 14 and 15. Give all the measurements for the ark. You know, sometimes in children's books, you will see little cartoon figures drawn, and you'll see a drawing of an ark, and you see the giraffes and the elephants looking out over the ark. Well, that's not scriptural at all. You look at those drawings and sketches, and you'll see a number of windows in their ark, and you'll see a number of doors around the ark. Well, you look at what we have before us here. Verse 16. A window. Not many windows. A window. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. So the window was to be in the ark above, and we'll see the significance of that in a moment. One window, and it was placed above in the ark. And since the window was above in the ark, what did that mean? It meant that Noah and his family were not able to look out and behold the destruction of mankind and the destruction of the world. They couldn't see the destruction of the ungodly. Why? Because the window, just one window, and it was above. That means also that with the window above in the ark, they will always be looking up. Wouldn't be looking down. They'll always be looking up. And you see, whenever you're in Christ, like being in the ark, when you're in Christ, you're always looking up unto Him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And so, you see here, there's only one window, and it was set above. That brings us now to this door. Single door. Notice, first of all, it was a particular door. A particular door. For Noah and his family, there was only one way into the ark. Because there was only one door. And who would be saved from the coming judgment upon the world must enter in through the door. One door. Likewise today, for men and women to be saved from the judgment of God to come, there's only one way. Christ is the door. The Lord Jesus is the door. And since there is only one door into the ark, there's only one door into heaven, and Christ is the door. He said, I am the door. So the Lord Jesus brings being the door. It's only through Christ that we can enter into heaven. Oh, I know that's an old story, but it needs to be repeated again and again and again, because there's so many people that they think there are other ways into heaven. But there are no other way into the ark. One door. One way God said to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. One way to reach the pearly mansions. Jesus is the only way. No other way. No other way. No other way to go. One way God said to get to heaven, and Jesus is the way. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. That's plain and simple enough, Acts 4, verse 12. Notice something else. That verse 16. God said to Noah, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. Notice how God described the window and then how he described the door. This verse 16 begins, a window. But when it came to speaking about the door, God didn't say, a door shalt thou set in the side. He said, the door. You notice that? Finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. It's the door. There's no other door. It's not one of many doors. It's the door. And again, referring to the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You know, some people think that there are many ways to get to heaven. As far as they are concerned, there are many doors that will lead to heaven. No, there's not. There's only one. Some think that there is the door of sincerity. Well, if you're sincere enough, God will not keep you out of heaven. And then there are those who look for the door that's marked commitment. You know, I hear people talking about making a commitment. Well, no, that's there's no doors marked commitment either. And then there are, of course, there are those who look for the door that reads good works. But no, there are no doors with good works on it. And then there are those who look for the door with their own church name on it and think that they can get to heaven through their church. No. There's only one door. Christ is the door. The door. So it's a particular door. Notice something else. It's a peculiar door. Now we have noticed there in verses 14 and 15, God gave to Noah the measurements for the ark. Verse 15, this is the fashion of which thou shalt make it off. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it. So we have the measurements for the ark, we have the measurements for the window, but look, no measurements for the door. There are no measurements given as to the size of the door. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. But no measurements are given. And that's in keeping with the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, I am the door. I am the incommunicable name of the Lord God Jehovah. Christ is Jehovah. Christ is God. And when you think of it, since the door speaks of Christ, how can you measure Christ? How can you, as it were, measure God? You can't place any measurements on Jehovah. So being the I Am, how can we measure or put any limits upon the God of heaven, upon Christ? The Lord Jesus is the I Am. You know, people today think of God as some kind of a lucky charm, don't they? They can carry about with them. And they can use whenever things aren't going too well, but then after that, forget about them. They have no idea who God is. He is the great I Am. Thus saith the high and lofty one. Thus saith, this is God speaking. Thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. How can you measure that? God, the high and lofty one, he inhabits eternity. There are no measurements there. The Lord Jesus made all things. He made all things, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the Creator. How can you measure the Creator? Cannot be done. So since the door is a type of Christ, the I Am, we see why God gave no measurements for the door. They'll show you how consistent the Bible is. Isn't it a great book? When you look at things like that and you see how consistent the word is. Just the fact that there's no measurements given for the door, you could easily just pass over that. Not even notice. And yet God has made it clear. No measurements for the door, because the door is a type of Christ and you cannot measure Jehovah. Particular door, peculiar door, no measurements for it. And then you have the place for the door. God made it clear to Noah where the door and the ark was to be placed. He said, verse 16, the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. Once again, there's only one door. When you think of it, in such a structure this size, that would never pass building control today. They would say, oh, you need to have other doors for escape in case of emergency. You can't have a building and just one door. But the thing is, regarding the ark, there would be no emergency. If you're in Christ, you're safe as the Rock of Gibraltar. Safer than the Rocky Mountains. There will be no emergency. All who would enter through that one door into the ark would be perfectly safe. And the one door was to be set in the side thereof. Those words take us to Calvary. You say, how come? Can we really see Calvary there in that verse 16? The door been set in the side. Well, there's the Savior. He's hanging upon a cross. And the soldiers come to break the legs of the prisoners. The two thieves and the dear Savior. And they see that he is dead already. He gave up the ghost. And then we read, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. John 19, verse 34. So it is now through the side of Christ, the pierced side, the wide open side, the heart side of Christ. Then we answer. So the way to the heart of God, the way to the heart of God is now opened for us through the wounded side of the Lord Jesus. The way to God's heart is through Christ. So we have noted then it was a single door. We know secondly was the salvation door. So the ark was built and the door placed in the side of the ark. To be saved from the coming judgment, all must enter in through the one door. No other way. No other way in. Couldn't make their own big, the men couldn't make their own ships or make their own arks. There's only one. There's only one way of salvation. To be saved, they must enter in through that one door and escape the coming judgment. Notice first of all, regarding salvation door, notice the invitation. The invitation. Look at chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Come. You know something? Here we are, Genesis chapter 7. This is the first time the word come is mentioned in Scripture. First time. We have the word come. And isn't it interesting that word come came from God? And there's an interesting, the first mention of the word come has to do with salvation. Again, we say this is a wonderful book. It has to do with salvation. I'm sure you remember how the Lord extended that invitation to us and is still doing so to many. What did he say? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come! Come, he says. It's an invitation. You remember also in that parable that he told about the king, and he sent out his servants at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. But notice also in this invitation extended to Noah, God said, come thou and all thy house into the ark. God made this invitation personal. Come thou. You, Noah, I'm speaking to you as a person. Many others in the world, but I'm inviting you, Noah. Personal invitation. Come thou. This shows us that God always addresses himself to the heart and conscience of the individual. So when the gospel message goes out, when sinners are invited to come to Christ, they receive a personal invitation from the Lord God himself. So you couldn't beat that. You recall that day? The Lord called out to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus received a personal invitation. God said, the Lord said to Zacchaeus, make haste and come. There's an again. Come down. For today I must abide in my house. personal invitation. Call them by name. But I tell you, whenever the gospel is preached, I have known, people have told me, preaching a gospel mission, I remember a woman stayed behind and she wanted to get saved. And she told me, she said, did somebody tell you something about me? Because the gospel message fitted her set of circumstances. It was a personal message, as far as she was concerned, for her. God was speaking to her as an individual. And she thought somebody told me something about her. God was dealing with her personally. That's how God works in the preaching of the gospel. He gives a personal invitation. As well as the invitation, look also at the individuals. We see again what God said as he expanded this invitation to Noah. Chapter 7, verse 1. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. So the invitation was extended beyond Noah. It was extended to his family. Oh, what a tragedy it would have been for Noah if he alone had accepted the invitation and the rest of his family had not entered in. But thankfully, Noah and the members of his family entered into the ark. Chapter 7, verse 7, and Noah went in. Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And verse 13, in the self same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with him into the ark. They all went in. Noah experienced household salvation. Noah would not and wanted his family and his family to be left behind. And so it is today. Those who are saved, they don't want any of their family left behind. When the great day of judgment comes, we want to make sure all the family is in the ark of God's salvation. Because the day of judgment is coming. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man, when the day of judgment comes. And here, God gives the invitation to Noah and his family. Remember the words of Paul and Silas to the Philippian jailer, when he said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Household salvation. You see, the door was wide enough to allow all the family to enter. Christ is the door. And his invitation is wide enough to receive all who will come to him. For all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. No wise cast out. With the invitation, you have the individuals, and then you have the inclusion. Notice carefully again what God said. He said, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Again, one word can make such a difference. And here it is. When God said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, he didn't say, Noah, go thou and all thy house into the ark. Had God said, go, it would have been as if God was sending Noah and his family away from him. But he said instead, come thou and all thy house into the ark. In other words, the Lord would be in the ark with them. Come. God was including himself. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. So you see, that's what is meant to being in Christ. We have the Lord with us at all times. You think of it. During the days of that great deluge, that storm that covered the world, and it was a worldwide flood. This was no local flood. It was worldwide. And during those days of that flood, there was Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives in the ark. And glory to God, the Lord was in the ark with them. So Noah and the family had nothing to fear. Because the Lord said, come thou and all thy house into the ark. The Lord was saying, Noah, I'll be in the ark with you. And whatever happens to the world, you'll be saved because I'll be in the ark with you. One of the names given to Christ, I shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And when we are in Christ, we are in Emmanuel, we will always have God with us. Paul said, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No separation. So we can say, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me, and his arms around me thrown. Then my soul shall fear no ill. Let him lead me where he will. I will go without a murmur, and his footsteps follow still. There's Noah and his family in the ark, and they're safe because the Lord's with them. Single door, salvation door, there's also a secure door. The ark, as we can see from these verses, was a place of absolute security. This is taught to us in a number of ways that we've already noted. But look also at the pitch. Genesis 6, verse 14. God said to Noah, a window, verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Well, we can see that okay in our minds. We put the black tar on the inside and on the outside makes it waterproof, so that it knows the penchant within and without. So no matter how hard the rain fell, how strong the winds blew, however high the waves rose, Noah and his family were safe in the ark. Remember, the Lord was with them. But there was no chance of that ark leaking water. It was pitched within and without. Ah, but this is the point. The word pitch, P-I-T-C-H, the word pitch means to make atonement. Isn't that amazing? The word means to make atonement. Nowhere else is the word translated pitch that is rendered atonement, which refers to a covering. A covering. Atonement was made by the blood of Christ there on the cross at Calvary, and when he shed his blood, he made an atonement, and the blood covers our sins. What it means to cover. And so our sins are covered. And what though the accuser roared, of evils I have done, I know them all and thousands more, Jehovah findeth none. Why? Because they're covered by the blood. By the atoning blood of Christ. It's remarkable that the Hebrew word for pitch is used here for the first time in Scripture. First time. And once again, it has to do with salvation. And it has to do with security. Does not speak to us of our security in Christ. Our sins, which for many are covered. Never be seen by God, because they're covered by the blood. That leaves us safe and secure. We'll never go to hell, because our sins have been dealt with. They've been covered by the atoning death and shed blood of Christ. He died an atoning death for thee. He died an atoning death. Oh, wondrous love. It was for thee. He died an atoning death to cover all our sins. We're secure. You have the pitch, then you have the power. After Noah and his family entered the ark, we're told in chapter 7, verse 16, look at the words. And they that went in, went in male and female, so all the animals and so forth, of all flesh, and God had commanded him, and the Lord shut them in. The Lord shut the door. That's why he didn't need any more doors in the ark. No emergency door was needed. One door, who's Christ, we enter into the ark of salvation. God shuts the door. That speaks to us of security. Now what you do at night before you go to bed, you check, is the door locked? The front door or the back door? And when you know the door's locked, then you feel secure. Well, here God shut the door. We are kept by the power of God. 1 Peter 1 verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, how often have I turned seeking sinners to that verse, 1 Peter 1 and verse 5. Because people stay behind after a meeting and the night that was saved, and you talk to them, but then they say, but you know, I feel I couldn't keep it. And I just said, I know you can't. You can't keep your salvation. But 1 Peter 1 verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. Now you're saved. You don't need to do the keeping. God does the keeping. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to reveal in the last time. The door and the deluge. What a deluge there was. But all who had entered in through the door were safe and secure. What a wonderful book we have here. You study it and the thing that you find here, and even in one word, and the difference it makes. May the Lord bless our study today in this door that was put in the side of the Ark of Salvation. Let's bow and pray. O dear Lord our God, we bless thee for the one who is the door, the one who is our way of salvation. I am the way, the Lord said. I am the way, truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, no other way. And O Lord God, we thank thee for all who have entered in through the door. One door and only one, and yet the sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? Lord, we know that when that door was shut, Noah and his family were inside, but a lost, perishing world was outside. No doubt they thought Noah a fool, building an ark when it had never rained before. We know, Lord, many today think the Christian a fool, the gospel preacher a fool. But Lord, there's a day coming, a day of reckoning coming. Oh Lord, bless this word to our hearts today. Use it to thy glory. Use it, Lord, to the salvation of precious souls. And men and women will make sure they're on the right side of the door. Lord, be with us throughout this day. Bless us and keep us safe and well and healthy. And are going out and coming in. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, fellowship, the Holy Spirit of God be our abiding portion now. And until the day that Jesus comes or calls. In his name we pray. Amen.